Our reading this morning will be out of Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. So just a couple of verses, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Anna, for her life, and just example of serving you, and how into her old age she did that, Lord, in her 80s. And we thank you for different seasons of life, how you've gifted all of us, but how you've shown us these seasons and help us to serve you in our different gifts as things change, and ask for that wisdom to do that. Pray that you'd use Steve today to reveal that in your word, and that we would be able to understand and apply it to our lives, as we want to be ones that are seeking you, serving you, loving you, Lord. We thank you for today being able to be here, and pray that you would use it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see you all here at Hope Bible Church. Glad you could be with us on this Lord's Day. That holy, 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 that's an encouraging song, isn't it? But can you imagine being in heaven and singing something like that, or maybe that song? And because it really, the sound is really good, but imagine hundreds of thousands, millions of people, who knows, maybe billions, all of us together. That's going to happen. And be honest, it's not going to be that long from now, because indeed our lives are but a vapor. Last couple weeks we looked at Psalm 92, and the last couple verses of that psalm, verses 14 to 15, really struck me. It talked about old age. It talked about those who are older, those who are up in years, like many of us here, who will be on this earth another 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 years or so, and then we'll be gone to heaven. That's the truth. So I want to talk about this. I thought it'd be really good to have a message that is tailored to a lot of us here. I think I told you this before, the average age, I did this calculation a few months back, is like 63. So, okay, I know some of you here are younger than that, but in general, we are an older congregation. So I want to go over a number of things today. And then really in the weeks ahead, and in fact, I started working on this. I thought this would be just a one-time message. I'm up to four parts, and I think I'll be done with four. But there's really a lot here that we need to understand that I think is going to be very helpful and encouraging to your lives. So first of all, I want to share some examples of older people from the Bible. There's quite a few. Abraham, by God's promise and power, had faith in God, and when he was 100 years old, his wife a little younger, Sarah, they had a child. They had a child. And then we see that God tested Abraham and wanted him to sacrifice his own child, which is what he was willing to do. So he passed the test. Then God gave him an animal sacrifice to offer. That's what happened. Then Moses, during the last 40 years of his life, when he was 80 to 120, led about 2 million Jewish people in the desert for 40 years. That's amazing. I mean, that was a very, very hard task. But he was very humble, and he indeed was successful. Then there's Jeremiah. He had a rough life. A lot of these guys had rough lives. He was a weeping prophet, and he was preaching to really unrepentant Jews for about 40 years, and pretty much the last 40 years of his life. But what we see is that he persevered. He kept trusting God. He didn't give up. He kept going. He did what God wanted him to do. Then there's a story of Daniel, who was, of course, from Israel, but when he was a young person, probably a teenager, 15, 16 or so, he was exiled with many others to Babylon. Jerusalem at that time was captured because of their sin, but Daniel's a godly man, and literally he served under, I believe, four kings for about 70 years. And so finally, he was finished with his work. God took him home when he was 90 or so, around then. I mean, but he had served the Lord 70 years of his life. Amazing. Then you got Paul, who worked very hard for God. You look at the book of Acts and the epistles, and you see that. And when he was 65, he had finished God's work. But he said this, these excellent verses, and maybe sometime we'll go through them line by line. But it says, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And God took him home to heaven shortly after that. John the Apostle was, you know, one we know greatly loved Jesus, and we read in the book of John, Gospel of John, that Jesus greatly loved him. And when he was about 90 years of age, and this is you know, probably around 90 AD or so, around then, but they had a bad emperor in Rome, and Christians were really getting persecuted over this one man, and so he was exiled. It was like a island, but it was like a penal colony, you know, a rocky place, and it's called Patmos. So you know what he did when he was 90? He wrote the book of Revelation. That's what John did. He was serving the Lord clear to the end. You have Anna. Bruce just read those few verses about her. She was definitely a woman of faith. It says she was serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. Her husband had died many years before that. Here she was, 84. And she was going all out for the Lord, and that was so encouraging, waiting for, really, Jesus and as he says, the consolation of Israel. Then there's Gene Carell, Abe Habegger, and Wayne Shepley. You don't know those guys, but I know them all. This was back in the early to mid-70s, and these three older men, when I met them, probably 50, 60, 70 or so, I got to know them very good. They were godly men. And I'll never forget these men. They were strong in faith and strong in hope and strong in love. And they were an encouragement to me, an example to me. And I'm so glad that God gave me older people like that. And I really believe that all of us need ones who are older to be examples that we can look up to. So first there's examples from the Bible and examples from other people that we know in the world. Secondly, I want to talk about your relationship with God. And of course, your relationship with God was most important when you were a younger Christian. It was most important when you were a middle-aged Christian. And it is still most important now that you are an older Christian. John 17:3 says it simply, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So we're talking about knowing God, about knowing him as your God and Father, knowing Jesus Christ, one who is your brother, who is your friend, one who is your Savior, your Shepherd, one who is the Lord. And we're talking about knowing the Holy Spirit, one who is the Comforter and the Counselor, your leader, your teacher, one who actually gives you spiritual strength, is the agent of grace for your life. And so we're talking then not just about knowing about these people. Anybody can know about something, but knowing them in a personal way, that's what we're saying, and spending time with them and having a relationship with them. And this is very encouraging. We talk about other faiths. I've said this before, but to be encouraged by the fact that we have a God who is three-member. There's you know, three members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and God wants us to know them all. That's what he wants. He wants us to love them and to enjoy them, to trust them, and really then to obey them. That one verse, you know this, we've heard it, you said it many times, is, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So the point I'm saying is that there's elements of each one of them that are important for us to understand and get to know each one, really in an individual way, the Father then and the Son and the Spirit. This relationship with them means that you know their character. You know that they love you. You know that they are holy and supreme and powerful and full of joy and sovereign. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Let him who boasts not that he has wisdom or power or money, let him boast that he knows me." So the most important thing that you're to boast about is you know God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You have this relationship with him. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "I want to know Christ." And I can just feel the passion in his heart as he said that. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. And this is an excellent prayer. I believe this is one of the most important prayers that there is. And Paul was praying this. Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And the first prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So what was Paul praying there? That they would know God. Know Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate way. That's what he was praying. And I would suggest to you that what you can pray and should pray for yourself, your family, once here in this church, for us as leaders, is that you grow in your knowledge of him. And again, it's not head knowledge. It is knowing things in your mind about him, but it's heart knowledge. That's what we're saying there. So I can't stress then enough the importance of knowing God, and not just maintaining your relationship at your present age, but growing in your relationship. Sometimes you might think, well, I'm just going to hang on. I just got to hang on as a Christian. God wants you to be growing in your relationship with him. That's what he wants for you. And so now that you're older, God wants you to keep walking with him, to keep loving him, to keep knowing his love and growing in his love, to keep being strengthened by him. That's what he wants. And God then wants you to trust him, that he'll keep you going all the way to heaven. The verse in Psalm 119:57, a great little phrase here, the first part of the verse, the Lord is my portion, meaning all I need is the Lord. The Lord is my portion. And then the great verse, 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. He will keep me strong. God will keep me strong to the end of my life, that is, so that I'll be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. People will disappoint you, right? You all know that. People won't always be there for you. And I can't help but think that this has happened to you before. People have disappointed you. They're not there for you, and you feel like you're on your own. And sometimes you're going to go through super tough trials. So you need the Lord. Only he can really help you. Only he then can really meet your needs. Only he can really then show you his love and keep loving you and always be with you. You know the verse, Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley, and I always like to emphasize through, you're going through. If you're in a valley right now, try it, you're going through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And why? What's the next phrase? You are always with me. That truth is a lie. You see it in Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. To understand and to really believe that the Lord is with you, because sometimes you can feel alone. He is always with you, always right there. And in fact, he's closer to you than any person. Somebody's standing right there. The Lord is closer to you than that person, okay? Because the Spirit is in you and God is with you. Important to understand that. And so I want to stress then the importance of getting time with God on a regular basis where it's just you and him and there's no distractions. It was intriguing. I was at this VBS and teaching a class. I think it might have been on Monday or Tuesday night, one of the nights. But Jorge, the other guy that was with me with the class, and says, get out your phones. I'm thinking, what? I never heard it. He didn't say, get out your Bibles. And they all pull out their phones. They all had their little apps. And you know what I thought about that night, and I mentioned it later, is I'm not saying you can't read the Bible from your phone, okay? But I have to admit to you that your phone, if it's a smartphone, is one of the biggest distractions you could ever have. There you are, reading the Bible. All of a sudden, you hear this ping or whatever your phone does when you get a message or whatever, a little ping, you know, or else you're just distracted. Oh, I want to find out about this or this. Terrible. I'm serious. I tell you, I can be a little more honest with you than maybe those young people because there's so much on their phones and maybe they don't even have a printed word. In fact, I'm thinking of talking to Marcia about this. Well, I already have. Is getting them all little New Testament, pocket New Testaments where they can read it. And so, again, you want to minimize distractions. That's what I'm saying. You want to do what you can do to stay close to God. It says in Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God, a command that God gives you. You need to do your part in knowing the love of God. That's what I'm saying. A couple other verses. Turn to the Bible and to Luke chapter 5. And we have, of course, the example of Jesus and how he stayed close to his Father. Luke 5:16. Verse 16, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Some versions say a lonely place. He wanted to be alone with God with no distractions. He would often slip away. That's what he would do. God wants for you too. Luke 10, 40 to 42, verses you know, but we need to be reminded of these. This is the story of Martha and Mary, and Jesus went to visit. Verse 40. And there's really just one primary contrast. Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." Here was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, right there. And she was busy in the kitchen trying to get things ready, but Mary knew, hey, this is an opportunity I may never get again, to be alone with Jesus. She sat at his feet and she learned from him. So again, just a picture there of not being distracted by the things. And there's things you got to do. I know that. I understand. I can get distracted like any one of you by things to do, things that really need to be done, but you must put the Lord first. And so as you grow older then, you should be ones who are loving God more, trusting God more, having more hope, having more faith. That's what God wants for you. God wants you to be growing in your relationship with him, trusting him and obeying him more and more. And you think about it, I mentioned Abraham before. There's no doubt that Abraham grew in his faith. You can just see, you read the pages. You read, from Genesis 12 through 22 or so. He just was growing. He was being tested. He was growing. You look at Abraham. There's no doubt that he grew as he was older in the Lord, physically and spiritually. There's no doubt about it. So, secondly, then, we talked about a relationship with God. Thirdly, then, and these all go together, I want to talk about the importance of God's Word. We recently had a series on truth and lies. We talked about how you need to know and believe God's truth, or otherwise you'll be hurt by the lies of the flesh and the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. That is what will happen. You won't spiritually grow. You'll be a stagnant Christian, a defeated Christian, a fruitless Christian, one then who is really useless for the Lord. Psalm 119, of course, you know, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it really then focuses on God's Word. That is the primary message of Psalm 119. And God's Word is your spiritual food, what you need every day of your life. No matter how old you are, you need this spiritual food. Just like you're here today, I assume you all eat food every day. I'm not saying you may not fast once in a while, but typically 99.9% of the time, you're eating food every day, right? So too, you need the food, the spiritual food that God wants us to have. So God's giving you the Bible. It's his manual. It's his instruction book. And again, it's what you need, not optional, to live the Christian life. And this book here, I think about this, and this is designed by God, of course. It's not too short and it's not too long. I mean, you have, you know, there could be some godly writers in the past have had volumes. They've written about the Lord as 10 volumes set. God just gives us, and that's fine, this is one book. Again, not too short, not too long. Some people like to read in a year, 2 years, whatever. But it's just right for what God wants for us. And I just love the way God designed it, this book that God has given to us. And so it's what you need to live a godly life. It's a need, what you need then to have from when you're a baby Christian, clear up to the present day, clear on up to the day that God takes you home. I want to share some thoughts about God's Word and how then it relates to you. First of all, God wants to speak to you. He wants to personally speak to you. And I'm not saying some voice that you hear. I'm not saying that. He wants to speak to you through the Word of God. That's what he wants to do. And now that you're older as a Christian, he wants to keep speaking to you. I know every morning I get time with the Lord, and pretty much every morning, maybe a reminder thought from God's Word, or it might be a fresh thought from his Word. And so it's encouraging, his Word. He wants to speak to us. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel 3. It's the example of Samuel. You probably know the story. And Hannah, one of the babies, she cried out, and God blessed her with Samuel first. She gave him to the Lord and took him to Jerusalem. But just this one verse here, a couple verses. Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he, that is God, calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called at another time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then in verses 18 to 21, so Samuel told him everything, told Eli everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall. He hung on to the word of God. And then it says, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord, that is, a prophet's one who speaks the word of God. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So we talk, how does God reveal himself to you? Through his word, and of course with the aid and help of the Spirit as well. So it's important to understand that. We're talking again, not about something mystical here. God revealing himself through his word, through his Spirit to you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to speak to you. Secondly, what God has to say to you is important, is vital, is absolutely necessary for your Christian life. You've always needed God's word, and now that you're older as a Christian, you still need God's word. You need God's truth every day of your life. That's what he wants for you. So think that. Whether you feel like getting time with the Lord or not, do it. Because you know what happens sometimes from even? Sometimes the times when I don't feel like it, it's one of the most encouraging times. God reveals himself to me in very special ways. Next, God's word is needed. It's a blessing to you even as you are older. God wants to instruct you about himself and about yourself, about the life, about the enemy, about the future, about all kinds of things. And God wants to lead you as you go through life. God wants to keep you from sin and temptation and evil. And God wants to comfort you when you go through tough times. This verse in Psalm 119, I'm not exactly sure what verse, but it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." You got some affliction, some trial, some difficulty, you go to the word. That's one of the most important things you could do. Not that you can't call a friend, I'm not saying you can't do that, but go to his word, pray, start reading, and ask God then to comfort you. That's what he wants you to do. And of course, God's word helps you to persevere. There's no way you can really persevere truly as a Christian all the way to the end without God's word. Next, God's word, and we've talked about this some, I'm going to add one more word. God's word can be broken up into four parts. There's the truths, the commands, there's the promises, and also there's the history portion. That's the added one I want to mention here. There are truths you need to know. You don't need to act upon them, you need to know them. God is sovereign. God is holy. God made the world. Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit. Christ died for your sins. There's truths. It's just a matter of knowing them and believing them. There are commands you need to obey. Command to love God, to be holy, to be humble, to pray. Commands, very important. Can't stress enough all of these. There are promises you need to believe, like God will never leave you, like God will then give you what is good, and that God will reward you. There's also the history portions of God's word, and really most, when you think about it, there are what people call the history parts of the Old Testament. Really, most of the Old Testament is history. You got the Pentateuch, and you got 1 Samuel, and 2 Samuel, you got 1 Kings, and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and other portions too, like Ruth and Nehemiah, Ezra and stuff. But the prophets themselves contain so much history, and history really is vital. And it must be part of this package here of God's word, truths, commands, promises, and history. So I say that because, again, you're going through life and maybe things are hard, and is there some truths you're not thinking about like you need to? Are there some commands you're not obeying? Are there some promises you're not believing? All three of those in conjunction with history are important, really important. And I can't stress this, and I'll never forget this, truths, commands, promises, and history. History, then, again, is the history of God's working with people, and God wants you to read. I know I love the history parts. I, I just slowly, I'm always reading something in the Old Testament. I'm going now, it just happened to be in one of my favorite books, the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. I just read about Ahab and Jehoshaphat and the battle that happened there. But it's phenomenal. I love that. Deuteronomy is another one of my favorite Old Testament books. But the history portions are so, so important. Just like you need good food to eat, and I'm not going to go into details here, proteins, carbs, fats, whatever, so too you need good spiritual food. You need truths and commands and promises and this history portion. That's what you need. In fact, I'll just share a little story, because when we talk about stories, and Psalm 78 talks about this, we'll look at this in another couple weeks. You can look at God's word, but you also have to hear the stories from other people. That's very important, and that's what Psalm 78, the first 8-9 verses, talking about, that you, as an older, and I'll just say it simply here, older Christian, need to pass on what God has taught you to younger people. That's what he wants you to do. That's how the Christian life's really supposed to work. You, as an older person, have a role. One of the most important things, to declare both the words of God and the works of God to those who are younger. So anyway, so here's the story. I briefly watched the news every morning, so the one thing that caught me today was there's this guy named Nick Hall, I believe his name was. He's working with a group called Pulse Evangelism, and you can go to pulse.org if you want to, Pulse, P-U-L-S-E.org, and it talks about it. But it's a ministry that just started. He's from Minnesota, started the last couple years, and they're going to reach the young people. And I say this story because here most of us are older. What God is doing to the young people, he said, it's like revival and places all over. It's really amazing. And his goal is to raise up evangelists that want to share the word. So just yesterday, for example, Nick Hall and his group, he has a song leader, and he's more of the preacher and stuff. And they were in Times Square. I don't know if there's 20,000 or 30,000. You know, we talk about all these protests you see, you know, these Palestinian protests. Here are Christians or people that are interested in becoming a Christian standing there, and they're singing. And I just was so encouraged to see God working like that. So that's the kind of things when I say we need to know stories. We need to know what God is doing, whether it's from the past or whether it's from the present. It's very, very, very helpful then. Next point is this. You need to keep thinking about God's word, or that other word that defined as thinking, to meditate on it. As you know, we still live in a sin-prone body. You live in an evil world. You live where there's this enemy who hates you. It's trying to get you to sin and to disobey the Lord, and part of rightly applying God's word to your life then is this, you know, thinking about it, rightly thinking about it, and is rejecting then, is saying no to sinful and evil thoughts. That's what God wants for you to do. And so thinking about God's word then gives you a godly thought life. Think about that. What kind of thought life you have? If you were going to put an adjective in front of thought life, what would you say for yourself? God wants to give you a godly thought life, and the primary way that happens is by getting God's word in you. Part of that is just Sunday morning, but a whole lot of it is that you, during the rest of the week, the other six days of the week and 21, 22 hours, is making sure you have a godly thought life. That's what he wants. This verse in Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is in it, and then you'll be prosperous, then you'll be successful. Very important. And I will say this to you, I've thought about this for my life many years. It's one of the most challenging things in life is to have a disciplined, godly thought life. I mean, I'm serious. It is so easy for our minds to go astray, to be distracted, to get worried, whatever. If God can help you to have a disciplined and godly thought life, you're going to be doing good for the Lord, okay? You really will. A disciplined, godly thought life is paramount. Next, God wants you to spiritually keep growing. Now, and you probably all know this next point here, your spiritual strength, your muscle mass increases from when you're a baby. And you know what it maxes out? Scientists say around 30 to 35, okay? You've been going downhill, physically speaking, from when you're about 30 to 35, okay? You probably all know that, right? Just the way it is. That's the way it goes, okay? But you're to spiritually keep growing. And when are you to peak as a Christian? I hope you haven't peaked yet. But you should be more mature now than ever before, more holy and more loving and more kind and more full of faith and more full of hope. That's the Christian life. It should be peaking now at this time. Think about this. You, as an older Christian, you should be, in terms of maturity, peaking at this time and in the years ahead, how many more years God gives you. You need to understand that. That's what God wants. A Christian, then, is physically stronger when he's physically younger, but he should be spiritually stronger when he is physically older. You get that? Very simple. A Christian, of course, naturally is going to be physically stronger when he's physically younger, but he should be spiritually stronger when he is physically older. That's what God wants for you. Next, and we sort of talk about this with examples, it's important to learn from other Christians. And you learn best from those who are more mature. I would encourage you to think about this, to think about, now, what older Christians do I know that I can learn from or am learning from? And it could be people in this church here. I mean, there's, you know, some older people here. Learn from them. Ask them how they're doing and how they get encouraged. Ask them. Talk to them. We should not be shy about this. We need to be learning from others. We need to learn from their conduct, that is their example, their character, their faith. Learn from how they obey the Lord. You also should learn from them when they share God's word, because it's coming from years of experience. They share God's word. It can be myself or one of the other people that teach here. It can be from a friend in this church or another member. It can be somebody else. It can be somebody you know long ways away, some other city or some other state. So no matter how old you are, you need to keep learning from others. And again, I would encourage you with that with respect to our church. We've got a special church. Right now, we're all older, man. We're getting older. We can learn from each other. We should all be at our peak, right? This, on one hand, should be a mature church in that respect. That's how God wants us to think. Next, there's key passages and verses that God puts on your heart that are very encouraging that you really, really love, okay? I think of food. I can't help but think there are certain foods and nutritious foods. I say certain good foods, nutritious foods, that you really like. And I know that you have not just had that meal one time in your life. You keep eating that. There's a routine. There's a pattern. There's repetition. You know, you like that food. It's good for you. Maybe every week you eat it, or every 2 weeks, you know. Or, I mean, my wife will laugh when I say this, and maybe I've told you some, but I like burritos. But I'll have to admit something here. You know I make them for Sunday. When I'm at home, they get all kinds of stuff put in those burritos. Man, I have 5-6 ingredients. I got onions, and I got garlic, and I got peas and mixed vegetables, and I got beans, kidney beans, and northern beans, and little ground beef, and flavor, and sauce, and seasonings, and they taste really good. And if you like, I'll make them for you sometime here on Sunday if you want to try it. But the point is this, I make them so they're nutritious, okay? And the thought is very simple. It's God, I can't help but think that he has given you certain verses or passages. Really love. And if God has encouraged, so don't feel bad about going back to that verse, maybe every day. You know, keep going back to Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23. I love Psalm 86. I love Psalm 31. I love Romans 8, 28 to 39. I love Matthew 24, one of my favorite prophecy passages. I love these, you see? And so go back. Go back. And they may be the kind of verses you have printed up and you put on your wall, or it's in your Bible, or it's on your computer there, wherever it is, okay? Very, very important that you keep being refreshed by the truths of God, even if you've been refreshed by it every day of your life. It's so important. Good food. Next, it's usually helpful to have routines, to have set times when you read and study and learn God's word. I'm trying to think if I shared it here, if I shared it last PBS, but the Daniel 6:10 verse, did I share that here? Daniel 6:10 is the verse about the edict just came from the leaders there that they were to worship only, you know, the Babylon gods and the king. So here's Daniel. He's older. You know, he said, oh, no way I'm going to do that. And he knew the threat was going into the lion's den. But what it said there in verse 10, it says 3 times a day. This was his routine. He had a window that pointed toward Jerusalem. He would sit there and kneel there, and he would pray to God looking at Jerusalem. That was his routine. That's fine. I mean, whether you do something like that too, 3 times a day, you have a set time to pray or you know, read the word, whatever. But routines can be very helpful. Having methods and ways to learn and memorize and review and remember then God's word. In fact, I'm not sure if you got one or not, but is back there on the counter, the table there is a verse sheet, ABC. Did you see that? Okay. That's for you. Okay. Any left, I'm going to give to Bethel. And in fact, I shared it with them in the class I was in. But that's one way I remember things from God's word, okay? I also have sheets. In fact, I think I'm going to get this done and with Marcia's help. She really is my secretary, and so she does a lot at home. It's a sheet called Truths, Commands, Promises, and Prayers. And it's some of my favorite verses, like maybe, I don't know, 100 there, 150. It's like an 8-10-page document is what it is. But I use that a lot. In fact, that's what I do every night before I go to bed. The last thing I do is I pick one verse or half a verse, and I get it in my head, and I think about it. So my goal is to be thinking about that verse as I fall asleep, and I usually fall asleep thinking about that verse. That's the way it is. So you need methods. You need ways, something to help you to keep learning and knowing and doing what God wants. Finally, we'll talk about worshiping God. And I think you know this, but the book of Psalms, more than any other book, talks about worshiping God. I haven't looked. I should figure out sometime how many times it says the word praise. But Psalm 9:2 says, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 145:1 says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. There's many other verses about worshiping God, about praising him and thanking him and loving him. It is so, I think it's an absolutely essential, critical book for each of us to be reading. Whether you read every day or at least on a pretty much regular basis, I would encourage that. Why should we worship God? Because he is God, because he is the Lord, because he is our creator, because he is the one who is supreme and holy and powerful and wise and good, because he loves us so much, because he gives us what is good, and because he has a magnificent future for us. And so praising God, thanking God, singing to God is the good thing and the right thing to do. It is that which glorifies God, it honors him, and it is that which results in your heart being filled with joy. A lot of times Christians aren't joyful like they need to be. And I really think a key is you praising, you worshiping God, then God then will flood your heart with joy. That's what he wants to do for you. And again, worship, I think, is an essential key. So no matter our age, we should be worshiping God. And those of us who are physically and spiritually older, the truth is, and I've sort of hinted this kind of thought before this message here, is that you should be worshiping God more than you ever worshiped before, more wholeheartedly. Now, you're peaking, right? As a Christian, you're in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. There's a couple ladies here who are 90. Peaking as a Christian in all these different areas. So today we're talking about being physically older and how you need to keep focusing on the basics. When I started working this 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, is I spent a whole half a day working and my angle was wrong. I was talking about this and how we're weak and how we're tired and this and that, just a lot of our things about being older. Says, no, that's not the thing to do. I got to go back to the basics. And so this is really, in many ways, a reminder. You all know these things. This is nothing new to you today. It's a reminder. But you all understand sports. Like, I'll take baseball. I like baseball. And so baseball players, he's playing. And every year, what do they do in the spring? It's called what? Spring training. And what do? They go over the basics. Hitting, running, throwing, catching, that's what they do. And it really, every sport is like this. But they go over the basics. They have to. It's just fundamentals. And it's not something brand new, some new technique. No, the same old things. Those four different things I just mentioned there for baseball players. So these are key essentials for baseball. So, too, there are key essentials. I mentioned three. You might think of something else, or maybe another one or two I could add, but these three are very important essentials then for you living the Christian life. And next week, we're going to talk about specific areas that relate to those of us who are physically older and how we are to spiritually live in view of them. And that's when I started. I thought it'd be, okay, one-part series, no, two-part, no, three-part, four-part series, okay? There's a lot. there's a lot here that really relates, and I'm convinced that this is essential for all of us here who are Christians. I'm going to close here by going just reading these verses. These might be in your bulletin, I can't remember. Psalm 71, verse 9. These are prayers. Prayers that relate to us here in this room. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Verses 17 to 19, O God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. We bless you for your love for us, your kindness. And those of us here who've been Christians for many, many years, we thank you with all our heart, knowing that really you're the one that keeps us going physically and spiritually and emotionally, every which way. And it's by your truth, by your spirit, Lord, we thank you for that. By our relationships with others, by the church, by the examples of others. And thank you for that, Father. We just pray that you would help us, encourage us. I pray these next few weeks as we look at these truths, that we would revive us. Because sometimes I feel physically lousy. Just lousy. One way to say it, Lord. I just hurt. And I can't hope. I think there's many in this room who just sometimes really hurt and don't like it. Well, Lord, help us to know how to keep going for you when physical ailments or other type of ailments or the emotions, the things go on. We have more family members or children. Then there's grandchildren, and we're thinking about all these things. We think about what's going on in the world, Lord. We need your grace and strength to keep going in spite of all this, Lord, and to go with strength. With real heart and courage, Lord, and perseverance. So we just thank you again for each one here. Just lead us, guide us. We ask for your protection. We indeed are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, and we need your protection individually as families and as a church. We pray for Bethel, too, for your blessing upon them. And thank you for this VBS this last week. And do pray for all the young people that came. I heard a number like there's 80, 85 or so. But just pray, Lord, that you would keep speaking to those people. I'm convinced that there's some who are really, really dramatically affected this past week, and I pray, God, you'd hang on to them and you'd keep speaking to them. You wouldn't let them go, that they would be so convicted of their need to know you and to follow you, to give themselves to you. But again, thank you for Bethel. Just use them for your purposes and glory. Give, you know, Raphael and Ruby are up in Indianapolis now for a Baptist convention. Give them strength as you're driving back, you think, tonight or tomorrow. But again, thank you for this church. Thank you for your great love for us, God. Just again, lead us in the ways you want us to go for your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bruce is